Good morning, SBFM radio and television, as well as our social media audience. This morning, I do have a guest. My brother is back because this is part two of what he wanted to impart. He's going to talk about a lot of things today. But before I get into that part of the program, I want to reiterate some things from last week. Now, he brought up that you should have a concordance. Now, one of the most well-known concordance people in the world is James Strong. And you can get a number of type Strong's concordances. The best one for you to get is an exhaustive concordance, and they have several versions of that. But one of my favorites is the Handy Reference Concordance, and the reason being is because it is so simplified. For you look up a word, whatever word that you're interested in, and it tells you everywhere in the Bible where that word is mentioned. And I've gone through it. I have a lot of words highlighted, but it goes from A to Z, and all you have to do is look up a word that you're interested in and see where it is in the Bible. And what this book does, it gives you all of the books, chapters and verses that this word is in, but it also gives you that classification number that you can look up in the concordance, the James Strong's concordance, or one of the other type concordances that have the classification numbers. And what you can do is look up the classification number and see what that word actually means. The Hebrew, as well as the Greek definitions, are in the concordance. All you need to know is if it's in the Old Testament, we're dealing with Hebrew. And if it's in the New Testament, we're dealing basically with Greek. There are other languages thrown in the Bible, but those are the two main languages that have been translated in the concordance, where you'll be able to find out what word was actually used in the manuscripts. It gives you the definition as well as how it is written in that language when you go to the concordance. That is very important when you are doing some heavy research, Bible research, and you need to really know what was in those manuscripts, how it was actually written. You'll have to look up the words, the Hebrew or Greek word, and go from there. Also, last week, my brother brought up one of the females, Mary Magdalene. And yes, it is true that Mary Magdalene was given a bad reputation over and beyond her reputation. She was not a prostitute. As a matter of fact, she came from a family of money. She always got allowances, so she did not have to have sex to get money. And it was easy for people to believe this because Magdala, the women that didn't have family taken care of them in that town, had to be prostitutes in order for them to make money. So Magdala had a lot of prostitutes. So someone, and personally I believe it came from among the disciples who didn't want Mary to be a disciple. She became an apostle. But I believe it stemmed from them about her being a prostitute. And seeing they tried to justify it in the Bible, and see the passages that they're using did not use any names. But it left you to believe that it was Mary Magdalene, and they were talking about a prostitute and things like that. It wasn't her. Many times that people have said it was Mary Magdalene, it wasn't Mary Magdalene. It was one of them other Marys, though. And there were a number of them, and people have gotten them confused. Now, I will be reading out of the new six new Gospels, as it's called. And there are six women in this book that wrote themselves. And they started translating what the women wrote back in, I believe it was about 1975 or something like that. And that's when they had to definitely change some of the things that people have been saying or how they have misinterpreted the Bible. So I will be covering these six women, and let me give you their names because you will find out that there's a lot of things that they didn't talk about. I'll be talking about Elizabeth of Judea, and that's John the Baptist's mother. We were not told how she felt when she saw the headless body of her son. In her writing, she tells you how she felt. Mary of Nazareth, the mother of Jesus Christ. What did she do with the blood of her son? We weren't given all of that information. The story of Photina of Samaria. We didn't even have a name for the lady at the well, but we knew that she had a lot of husbands and she was shacking with somebody then. But we didn't know she had children by all these husbands, and we didn't know that one of them was abusive, used to beat her. I will be reading on that as well. Then we have Mary of Bethany and Martha of Bethany. Those are the two sisters of Lazarus. They both wrote. Then, of course, Mary of Magdala. She wrote as well. So those are the six people that I will be covering, and I'll be reading from their writings and referring to the Bible when it is something that we were given, the information that we was given about them. So that's basically what I wanted to start off with this morning, and I will get back with you when we close. I'm turning this over to my brother now.
Hello. And I'd like to say I'm very glad being here. Offer my whatever I have, bring unity into the mind of our people. I'd like to reiterate from last week first that the Bible has everything a person needs for their salvation. It gives you an opening to allow you to go through your frustrations, anxieties, your depressions, all the insecurities that you have when your goals aren't met, when hopelessness is in front of you. It shows you how to pass that. Some of the things that lead to these insecurities, the Bible has ways for you to see them, define them, and remedy them. Last week I went over a few of these. They were pride, covetous, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and sloth.
Deadly sins.
Yes. With covetous, it reflects on my things. Lust, my satisfaction. Anger, my rights. You know, everybody goes through this idea that they don't want to be disrespected. Sometimes that line is broken. Gluttony, my body. Envy, my welfare, my success. You're looking at others, looking at theirs. Sloth, my comfort. I think first we should look look at the definition of pride. I looked it up in the American Heritage Dictionary, and it reflects a sense of one's own proper dignity or respect. A sense. Yeah, that's okay. Self-respect. Pleasure or satisfaction taken in one's work, achievements, or possessions. Ooh. That is something to behold. Proud of being the most successful or putting yourself in a thriving condition. Pride is something that everyone should have. But when I went and looked at the Bible, and the Bible looked at pride in a very different way. In 90% of what I read about, when I went over pride from Leviticus, 1 Samuel, 2 Chronicles, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, these all the way down to the New Testament. Can they see this?
Not on the radio.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
But okay. We're doing television, too.
Okay. Well, pride has all of these all the way down to the New Testament. I will give you some of what it reflects. But let me...
Okay, well, while you're doing that, I'm going to say something about pride. See, that's one of the reasons why Satan was kicked out of heaven. He wanted to sit on the throne. And he forgotten that everything that he has was given to him by God. And that's one of the major problems with pride. You have a tendency to forget that all that you have accomplished, all that you have, your knowledge of things and why you're accomplishing things, it all came from God.
Yes.
And so once you start saying, I did it, I'm the one that, and then many kings in the Bible, many priests in the Bible were I people. They forgot about God. And that's one of the major problems with pride, is that you forget what you have came from God. And what happens if you forget that it came from God, it will be very easy for you to use those gifts for Satan. Okay, now, sorry okay. for the interruption.
Oh, there was not an interruption. That was needed. Okay. Pride overflows into the other passions also, that is covetous lust, anger, gluttony, envy, sloth, it overflows into all. And the opposite of pride is humility. You will find in humility the path to God. Mm-hmm. But when I read the Bible, 90% of what they wanted you to know about is the example of pride being overemphasized. When it is overemphasized, it reflects on an innate appraisal of oneself. Some of the characteristics that you will see in a person that's very prideful. Pride is a necessary drive. With pride, you have goals to meet. You have position to attain. You have things that you see in your life very meaningful. But when it's overemphasized,
that's when you're using it for the devil.
That is it. Okay? And as I said, ornate appraisal of oneself, like when one takes credit for everything, and his willfulness is strong in this. And you have to look down on others if you want to do these type of things. When you have the idea of taking credit, you have to say that you're more important than these other people around you. You're looking down on them.
But that's also one of the characteristics or symptoms of low self-esteem.
You're right.
Because, see, a lot of people go around putting down people to make themselves feel better, because they have a low self-esteem. Not realizing doing that is in violation of the ninth commandment. And that says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. But the ninth commandment and the precepts beneath it covers all verbiage. Anything that comes out of your mouth is going to come back to you in the court of divine judgment, whether it's good or bad. And a lot of times people put people down, talk about them, because they are trying to make themselves feel better. It doesn't work in the earth realm, and it's definitely not going to work in the court of divine judgment. No.
And another aspect of this would be boasting. And
low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Delusions of grandeur.
That's it. Denying or minimizing faults. Your faults are not as
bad as everybody
else's faults.
Yep.
That's what you're saying.
That's basically what it is.
In this, you have a weakness in faith. Faith that God has you. God controls all that there is. You think that you want to control. You control not only yourself, you want to control everybody else. Their way of thinking, their way of living.
Right.
But
this world would be a much better world if people got and felt comfortable in expressing what they really felt and were able to put it in practice. We'd have a better world.
I'd like to go over a few of these ideas that the Bible has about pride. And as I said before, 90% of what the Bible talks about is pride being overemphasized. What it's like when you're too prideful and you're going to receive the wrath of God. Let's see what we have here. I'm going to go to Proverbs. 8:13.
And I've mentioned before, SBFM radio, it's best for you to have a Bible anytime that you're listening to us, because pretty much everything we're going to do at SBFM radio will be giving you a lot of information, but we'll be relating it to the Bible and laws.
Okay. This is Proverbs 8:13. Okay? Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil ways, and the forward mouth do I hate. God hates these things.
Mm-hmm.
Frothward mouth, arrogance, pride.
Mm-hmm.
Pride reflects those things when it's overemphasized. Mm-hmm. If you see that in a person, understand that this person needs their eyes open to God. I'm going to give you another example. Okay? Let's stay in Proverbs. Okay? We got another example, but just stay in Proverbs 14:3.
Proverbs 14:3.
It says here, in the mouth of the foolish is the rod of pride. So you're foolish if you're too prideful. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The wise. So, if you're pride is overemphasized, they're saying you're stupid and not wise. Understand that when pride is overemphasized, it can lead you down a very negative path. Because these examples show you, let me give you, let's go somewhere else. Let's go to Jeremiah 48:29. And it says, we have heard the pride of Moab. He is exceedingly proud. His loftiness and his arrogance and his pride and his haughtiness of his heart. These are things that are not of God. There's example after example. Okay, let's go to the New Testament. Many examples in the Old. What are the examples in the New Testament? Let's go to Mark 7:22.
Okay. In the meantime, I will cover pride a little bit too in the closing, showing you how to use the concordance, the word concordance, and give you the classification number, and we'll look up how that works.
Okay. 7:22. It says, now these are the words of Jesus. It says, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. These all are together. Blasphemy, lasciviousness, deceit, wickedness, thefts.
Mm-hmm. Those are covering a number of commandments.
Yes. But look what the Bible says about this, on and on. It seems like we have many, many more prideful people that must understand, that don't understand that they are prideful. And the Bible reiterates it over and over and over again. Look at this.
Okay,
over and
now
over.
Let's try something else. Let's try the concordance way. Now, in this particular small reference book, it doesn't have all of the references of pride. But it does have references that we need to go over. Let's talk a little bit about, let's see, which one of these has the most of the same? Okay, that's 1346 classification, 1346. Well, there's a lot of different meanings for the word pride. So what we're going to do is take one of the scriptures, and then look it up in the concordance. Let's go to 1 Samuel, David. I think I want to start with that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think you did. You didn't do 1 John, but you did show where it was.
1 Samuel 17:28.
Yeah, you have that on your list?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, 1 Samuel 17:28. And basically what I want to do is, that has a classification number of 2087. And so what I'm going to do is look that up in the concordance, so we will be able to look up the classification numbers as well. Now, where are my classification numbers? Here they go. Okay, I need you to read it.
Okay. 1 Samuel 17:28.
Mm-hmm.
And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. We're talking about David that fought Goliath. And he said, why comest thou down hither? Remember, David was supposed to be dealing with the cattle. He ain't supposed to be here. He's supposed to be dealing with the sheep. Why comest thou down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep the wilderness. He left the sheep in the wilderness. What possessed him to leave the sheep and come down? I know thy pride. His brother thought it was pride. And the haughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightst see the battle. In pride, he thought David was coming down not from the will of God, but out of his own egoic pride. This is what his brother thought of it.
Well, that's what a lot of people think. When you're strong in actions with God, they take it that it's you, and they don't realize you're under the protection of God. You're following your assignment. Now, that classification number there, they have about 5 or 6 different classification numbers for the word pride. And that classification number is 2087. Now, this is what they're basically saying. I can't pronounce the word. It's Z-A-D-O-W-N, Zadon, Zadon, okay? And it's from arrogance, okay? Presumption, pride, proud man. Now, that's how his brother was taking it. And when they used the word pride there, they were letting you know that that's how it was being perceived there. But there are a number of places where it means something different.
Right.
Now, let's see. Here's one. Did you do anything? You did some Proverbs, didn't you?
I did Proverbs.
Okay. Proverbs 16:18. Do you have that one?
Yes.
Okay. That was dealing with pride goeth before destruction. Okay. And I want you to read that. That has the classification number of 1347.
It says here, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Now, that's what happens when you let your pride get away with you there. So what I'm going to do
in
is...
a haughty spirit. No. Haughty spirit. That doesn't reflect being humble.
No, that's far from being humble.
Okay. No. You can see God in your humility.
Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read, okay, 1347 is the... Gawan, that's the word. And it comes from 1342. Gaw, whatever that is, the root word. Gloriously, grow up, increase, be risen, triumph, is 1346, which is also dealing with it, is arrogancy, excellency, majesty, pomp, pride, proud, swelling. It means all of those things. The reason why I'm doing this is because one word can mean a lot of things. There were fewer words back then. So one word can mean from one end to the other. It can mean opposites as well. You'll run into it. So you need to go to your concordance to see when you're looking up or want to know what a particular word means in that verse. You need to look it up in the concordance to see what that word means there. because pride has a lot of different meanings.
Yeah, that's what I was saying when I say overemphasize.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you overemphasize in this respect to pride, you get so emotionally involved that, as I was saying before, you may be frustrated, anxious. You may find depression in there. And when this takes over, you may want to tend to sin, overlooking the rights of others, overlooking what God has for you. You will steal, you will kill, if these things are greatly overemphasized. But there is a way to remedy this. And the first always starts with understanding that your path to this is toward God. You got to meditate on what God really wants of you in your life. Meditate on what the emptiness is really in fame. What the emptiness really is in attaining possessions. You can't take these things with you. God has no way of, wait, not God. We have no way of judging what God really thinks of us and how we deal with our possessions. It seems as though, because we try to abuse and misuse all the resources that we have.
And that means we're in violation of God's law. Mm-hmm.
We have to understand, we have to know thyself. What does it really mean to know thyself? Years ago, all the centers of education in ancient Africa had on it, lettering, always know thyself. Why is that so important? Is it in us that we have to know that is so important? We have to know God in us first. And we have to know us in God. God in us and us in God. Know these things. Obey the laws of God. Even though at times you see that God's laws in conflict with man's laws and vice versa. You have to use your own judgment here. You have to be cooperative. Love one another. This is of God. Practice frequent acts of kindness, giving. Not only of your possessions, of yourself, of your spirit. Offer them the word of God. Offer them the way for salvation. Be grateful. Be loving to your friends, family, neighbors, giving hope to all, loving all of God's creation. And stay off this pedestal. That is something that is hard for us because everything we look at is aggrandizing. Be humble. All is of God. Now.
Okay. What I want to do is relate some of the words that he mentioned to the 10th commandment. As I've said in the past, the 10th commandment was intended to prevent you from breaking the other 9 commandments. And, of course, we're still doing that and was doing that during the days of Jesus. So Jesus came with love, which was intended to keep you from breaking all 10 commandments. Well, David mentioned some words that I want to reiterate about. First of all, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 6 and read verses 16 through 19. And these things list the seven things that God hates. Number one, proud look. Number two, lying tongue. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. Number four, heart that devises wicked imaginations. Number five, feet that be swift to running to mischief. Number seven, false witness that speaketh lies. Number seven, he that soweth discord among brethren. Now, this is biblical, okay? Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. The seven deadly sins are not per se biblical. It's not described as the seven deadly sins. Priests in the past came up with words that if you practice these things, they're deadly. That means when you get to the court of divine judgment, if you have not repented these type sins, you're going to be judged accordingly. Now, let me give you the seven deadly sins. In addition, this particular monk gave you the name of the unclean spirit that controls you when you're under that particular type influence. Number one, sloth is Belphegor. Gluttony is Beelzebub. Lust is Amadeus. Pride is Lucifer. Lucifer, the devil, Satan, they usually use the same word for him, but he was supposedly the most beautiful angel in heaven, the most powerful angel in heaven. And he let his pride get the best of him. And that's Lucifer. He was kicked out of heaven because of it. He wanted to be God. He did not want to be, if he wanted to come to earth, he had to be born of woman. He did not want to be born of woman. He wanted to be with woman. So God kicked him out. Number five of the seven deadly sins is greed. The demon that influences there is Mammon. Envy is Leviathan. And anger is Ammon, or sometimes referred to as Satan. Now you have to keep in mind, when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, a third of heaven went with him, I believe. Wasn't it a third? Well, anyway, all them demons that was following him were kicked out also. And they all had their own, own gifts that God gave them, but they decided to use them for evil. Now, the 10th commandment, as I said, is supposed to prevent you from breaking any of the other commandments. And it's dealing with thou shalt not covet. You're not supposed to covet nobody's nothing. Covet is synonymous to the word steal, but it deals with the mind. That's the reason why I wanted to cover the deadly sins as well as the things that that God hates, because that deals with your thoughts and emotions. And if you do not correct your thoughts and emotions at that level, you're getting ready to do what your thoughts tell you to do. And if it's evil, you're going to do evil. And you need to correct it at that level, because if you don't, right off the top, you're going to start speaking. That's the ninth commandment. As soon as you allow those thoughts that are there, whether they are evil or holy, your mouth is going to speak those thoughts. And what you have to do is guard your thoughts, because if it's evil, you're going to speak evil. Your helmet is gone. Your helmet of salvation is gone. And as soon as you use one finger or leg or arm going toward it, your whole armor has dropped off. And so what you're going to have to do is pray to get that armor back on, and you're going to have to ask for each piece of that armor back and let God know that you understand now why that piece of that armor is very important, and that you're not going to be losing it again. And you're asking for something, so you have to do that in the name of Jesus. Keep that in mind. You're always praying to God. But if you're asking for something, you ask for it in the name of Jesus. The reason being is Jesus told you you were going to have to, in order to get to God, you're going to have to come through him. And God pretty much said the same thing. So when you're asking for something, you ask in the name of Jesus, and it will be given. So get your armor back on. For those of you who have already messed up at the 10th commandment level and out there doing all kinds of things, get your armor back on first. Learn these laws and know how you're supposed to practice them, and that what that particular commandment covers. Because a lot of people didn't understand the 10th commandment, the one that you really needed to understand. And see, the Lord led me to start with the 10th commandment, because everyone starts with the first commandment, but somewhere when you get down to around the fourth or fifth commandment, you lose people because they're not really understanding what it means. So I'm working backwards to show you how you commit the sins. Now, I'm going to be, if not the last Saturday of this month, be giving you how to cover your sins. The first Saturday, which is today, is really open forum. And anyone can call in and talk about anything. You don't necessarily have to talk about what we're talking about. But you can call in and bring up another subject matter, and let's see if anyone out there has comments or what have you pertaining to that subject matter. So don't feel that you have to call in on the subject that we're talking about, especially the first Saturday of the month, which is open forum. I try to have something to always talk about, even during open forum. This is our third month now, I believe, is it? Yes, this is our third month, and we're trying to build it up. We have a lot of construction going on right here in the right here at my place. I'm trying to do some things, but so the studio is not soundproof, so you're going to hear a lot of noise every now and then. But anyway, the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Remember that you have to guard your thoughts, because that's where it's going to come from. Those evil spirits, I've given you some of the names, work through thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. and you don't want to receive evil suggestions. Now, do you have anything else you would like to talk about?
Oh, yes. I stated earlier that the Bible has everything for your salvation, but what else does it have? I have documentation here stating that the Bible I can't find my documentation.
Sure, you brought it with you?
Guaranteed.
Well, anyway, while you're looking, I will mention some of the things. I've given the 19 symptoms of low self-esteem, and some of the things that you brought up are part of having a low self-esteem. But also I covered the levels of maturity. And we have a lot of individuals that have not matured to the level to understand why they shouldn't be doing some of the things that they are doing. And see, and it starts with childhood. The Bible tells you to teach your child starting at a young age, soon as they understand, okay? And there's no age of, per se, of accountability. Your accountability has to do with your understanding. There was one child in the Bible, I think it must have been about 7 years old. He was held accountable because he knew better. So if you know better, and God knows, he knows your thoughts and your heart. If you know better, then you're supposed to do better. Okay, well, did you find what you were looking for?
Yes, I did. Okay. I was saying, what else does the Bible have in it? In October 2005, the Times online report, Catholic Church no longer swears by the truth of the Bible. The hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church has published a teaching document instructing the faithful that some parts of the Bible are not actually true. The Catholic bishops of England, Wales, and Scotland are warning their 5 million worshipers, as well as others drawn to the study of the Scripture, that they shouldn't expect total accuracy from the Bible. Now,
that's common sense. That's common sense. There's going to be something in there that's not.
But who are these people that
don't worry about that?
But I worry about it because that has been.
What does that have to do with your salvation? What does it have to do with the laws? That's how you're supposed to deal with it for you personally.
People go to the Bible for understanding and meaning.
They do.
They guide their lives by it, okay? And if they're guiding their lives by some aspect of lies, okay? Now, I have a person here.
Why do you think that they tell you you're supposed to rightly divide the Bible?
Because a lot of people don't know where the lies are.
If you know the laws, you'll know. Because you can look right at it, and you can just read those stories in the Bible, and you can, if you know the laws, you know they have just broken the law. They've just broken the law.
Don't understand the Bible clearly.
They're not unless they understand the laws. That's what my assignment is. Mm-hmm. You learn those laws, then you make sure you do not break the law. See, the law, God's laws come down in two forms, and then we're going to close. It come down in prohibitions, things that you are not to do. And it comes down in positive commands, things that you are to do. And right now, we have people doing both. I'll give an example. You're not supposed to kill people, rob people, because that's a prohibition. But the positive command that's associated with it is you're not supposed to allow anyone else to do it. So if you're seeing people doing these things, you're not supposed to shut up. And we have a problem with that today. 50 people could see somebody being beat up, and they sit there and just look at it, and then they'll tell the police, I didn't see nothing. Well, God sees that. He saw all of it. He saw you lied. He saw you didn't do anything to help. Now, the least thing you could do is at least tell the police something. If not, what the Bible tells you to do, which most people are afraid to do, is pull your brother to the side and privately and show them the errors of their ways, and you use the Bible to show them that. We don't do any of this stuff the way it's supposed to be. If we did, we wouldn't have as much problems as we're having in the world. But I'll get back to that at another time. It's pretty much time for us to close. Do you have any closing words?
Yes. Always seek God in everything you do.
That's true. That's true. Well, anyway, we'll be back next week, same time, and we'll have more information for you. Feel free to call in. Don't be afraid to call in if we've said something that you disagree with. We have no problems with that. But be sure, if we're talking about the Bible, you have the Bible there to let us know where to go and see what you're talking about. There is no one person in the entire world that knows that Bible inside and out, because the Bible is forever pregnant. You could read a verse three times and you got three different meanings out of it. That's the message that God has given you that you're supposed to use it for at that time. So when you're reading the Bible, read it for yourself. Pray for your understanding and wisdom for your salvation. Not nobody else's, yours. You got to get you in place first. Well, anyway, knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again, I love you.
Shalom.
Shalom, huh? Bye-bye.